Ladies and gentlemen, good day, and welcome to the MM Forging Q3 and FY 2022 earnings conference call hosted by Dolat Capital. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal the operator by pressing star then zero on your touchtone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Abhishek Jain from Dolat Capital. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thanks, Vedant. Good afternoon, everyone. On behalf of Dolat Capital, I welcome you all in third quarter conference call of MM Forging. From the management side, we have with us Mr. Vidyashankar Krishnan, Vice Chairman and Managing Director, and Venkat Krishnan, our CFO. Now I hand over the call to Mr. Krishnan for opening remarks, followed by the question and answer. Over to you, sir.
Thank you, Abhishek. Good afternoon, everybody. I'm happy to announce that MM Forging has recorded a turnover of 803 crores and 293 crores for the quarter, 803 up to the quarter, up to 31st December, and an overall EBITDA on sales of 20% up to the quarter and 20.5% in this quarter. Excluding other income, this would stand at 19.5% and 19% respectively. We have an export domestic mix of 52% and 48%. Our mix of Ascod supply to machine supply up to the 9 months is 50/50. So 50% is forged and 50% is machined. We see good traction in the fourth quarter in the domestic CV market, as also global CV markets. The U.S. is ramping up from a chip shortage, and mostly it is behind the U.S. truck manufacturers. They have a backlog of around 280,000, 90,000 trucks, a 10-month backlog, 10-12-month backlog, which of orders, physical orders, not a plan. So we would expect a frenzy in the U.S. Class 8 truck market over the next 12 months. There is a very strong demand, and naturally the demand that is going to come through this calendar of 2022 in the U.S. heavy truck market will sustain into 2023 as well. So the U.S. Class 8 market looks to be very strong. In Europe also, markets are picking up. They're slightly stronger than before. But the European truck market we've seen is not prone to highs and lows as much as the volatility seen in the U.S. markets. Europe is also doing strong. With hopefully at least the third wave well behind us, we would say that the fourth quarter ahead, India is also expected to do strong on the CV side. From 2023, I would expect the CV market in India to be on a stronger note than even in the past. These are my few opening remarks. I am open to questions from hereafter. To give you some percentage in terms of numbers, we have done about 82% for the CV market globally. Passenger car is about 11%, and other markets will be the balance 6-7%.
Sir, should we open up for questions?
Yes, please.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, we will now begin with the question and answer session. Anyone wishing to ask a question may please press star and one on your touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is from the line of Abhishek Gaushinde from Sunidhi Securities and Finance Limited. Please go ahead.
Thank you, sir, for the opportunity. Sir, can you please share the tonnage volume for the quarter, sir?
Yeah. We did 45,000 tons for the 9 months and 15,000 tons for the last quarter.
Sir, it is said that the PV segment is roughly contributing 11% to the total revenue. And I think non-auto segment may be 6-7% to the total revenue?
Yes, that's correct.
Okay. Is there any plan to expand in the non-auto segment? Because most of your peers are expanding in that.
Yes, we are planning to expand in the non-auto segment. Mm-hmm. And the acquisition of Kaforma is also a step in that direction. So our presence in the agri and overall markets will bolster our presence in the non-auto side.
Okay. So in, say, for example, in next 3 to 5 years, what kind of revenue mix you are visualizing? Means how the things would change for you?
I would say this would go up to double digits.
Okay. And our capex, I think we have earmarked roughly 125-130 crore kind of a capex for FY22. How much we have completed in 9 months? Sir?
About 81 crores.
81 crores. And remaining would be there in the quarter four, or we will have some spillover in FY23?
Spend per quarter is in the region of 30 crores, give or take a little. So okay. Yes, you would be at that spend.
Okay. And have you scheduled capex for FY23? Then?
We have overall right now a plan of around 200 crores.
Okay.
Of which 70 odd has been spent.
Okay.
And 130 remains. This includes a big budget for any expansions that would come in.
Okay.
So I would say if we spend another 20-30 now, about 100 crores would be planned for the next fiscal.
Okay. So FY23 we can say that it would be 100 crore only.
Yes, that is the expectation at this point of time.
Uh-huh.
New projects, new customers come in, that could go up.
Okay.
And this does not include any other strategic investments or diversifications that we may make.
Okay.
I can only give you a window as I see it.
Okay, that I understand. And so on this US class 8 side, we have seen that there is a difference in the supply and the demand side. So are we seeing any significant change in the pricing of the orders, what we have booked earlier and what we are booking now?
Not significantly. One thing to note is that customers have compensated us largely for the raw material increases and for the sea freight increases.
Okay, that's it only. There is no additional pricing. Pricing has been changed. Okay, sir. How much amount of this reimbursement we have booked in this quarter, sir?
Nothing significant. Whatever we have booked here for this quarter has been pertaining to this quarter alone.
Okay.
We have not taken any past dues into this quarter.
Anything expected in quarter four, sir?
Same will continue. Whatever we have settled everything, so whatever is due for quarter four will come for quarter four.
Okay, sir. Thank you, sir. These are all from my side. Thank you, sir. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Shyam Sundar Sriram from Sundaram Mutual Fund. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi, sir. Good afternoon. This is Shyam from Sundaram Mutual. Thanks for taking my question, sir.
Hi, Shyam. Thank
you. Hi, sir. Sir, you have shared the tonnage for 9 months. So this year will we be close to 65,000 odd tons, or that is the first thing. And secondly, on the export side, I believe we were doing something like 150 crore per quarter. That seems to have dropped a bit this quarter because of the, I assume, chip shortages would have impacted. Is that a fair assumption? And do we see that the trend reversing back to that 150 crore per quarter from Q4 or maybe Q1?
Mr. Sriram, your audio is not clear. We're not able to hear you clearly.
Your first question was clear, Shyam. The second question was a little bit vague.
Yeah. One second. Okay. On the export side, we were talking something like 140-150 crore per quarter. This quarter, there seems to be a dip there, primarily due to the chip shortages and the production, North American truck production would have also come down. What is the visibility on the export side, sir, as we stand today? Going back to this, 150 crore per quarter, do we see that happening in Q1 onwards or later? How is that looking for you, as per where we stand today? This is my first question.
Exports, with the chip shortage behind a couple of key customers, I would say that exports is only poised for a stable to positive growth from this side onwards, from this point of time onwards. I would say 150 should hold comfortably, if not increase. There will be an increase if one customer has suddenly drawn considerably from our warehouses. This trend will continue.
Understood.
We rapidly run to fill it up. Similarly, we've gotten new orders also on the export side. That also will add to the export turnover.
Understood, sir. On the yearly tonnage, sir, will the FY22, will we do something around the 65,000 and thereafter 85,000-90,000 for next year? Is that something that is now looking likely?
This year we should end up upwards of 60,000.
Okay.
Okay. Somewhere between 60 and 65.
Okay.
Next year we should target something around 80+.
80+. Okay. For the next year, do we think that 80 will be more conservative or is it more on the upward bias than 80? Just if you had to do some guesstimate.
I would say, 80 should be a reasonable number, maybe with a positive listing of around 85, 80-85. 85 could be a nominal target.
Understood, sir. Understood. Thanks for that. On the new products, per se, we were, we had a, you know, some 30-35 crores per month kind of parts, were supposed to get added, from this fourth quarter onwards. Now where are we on that journey? How is that progressing? If you can give an update on that. On the Kahoma acquisition, I mean, if you look at the standalone, consolidated standalone, there has been some losses there. Understand that, you know, tractor, et cetera, would have been weaker on this quarter. How was the utilization at Kahoma and then TVS Motor? That is the other part of the question.
One second, Shyam. Just one second. Sorry, Shyam. With regard to the new products contributing to turnover, we have about 5-6 crores coming in from January onwards per month.
Okay.
The Kahoma acquisition will also contribute to this from April onwards. We are on track to achieving that 30 crores of turnover, incremental turnover per month. That will happen right through this calendar year as parts come in into bulk.
Understood. Kahoma is largely, just to recall, sir, Kahoma is largely into crankshaft machining, right?
Yes, that's correct. Absolutely.
Oh, understood. Understood. Sir, on the heavy forging side, when we used to say that, you know, we have roughly 4,000 tons per month kind of capacity, how is that progression? I mean, this is along with the new products, I think those are also there on the heavy forging side. How is that utilization progressing, sir?
That is going very strong. In March, I think we should cross a critical number of about 3,000 tons.
Oh, okay. Okay, wonderful, sir. Wonderful. Wonderful. So the new products are all the heavy forged parts which is ramping up.
Correct. So that's okay. Right. Yeah. Only thing is April, May, June shouldn't be too dull a quarter or next. We have to see how the CV industry sustains thereafter in Q1 and thereafter. But I have a feeling that, you know, kind of bottomed out. Barring another major wave of COVID, we've kind of bottomed out on the CV cycle.
Understood. And tractors for us will be in that 6-7% of our revenue, sir, if you look at 9 months.
Largely, yes. And we would expect this to touch 6-7%, yes. We would expect this to go to about 10%.
Okay.
In the next fiscal itself.
Sure, got it, sir. And lastly, on the margin side, sir, this 19% range, 19 to 20 that we usually talk about, is that something that we hold on? Because the freight cost last time when we spoke, you said there is some sort of plateauing happening. How as in it is sort of flattening out, but the look at the data, seems to suggest that it's still going up. So is there any risk to our margin bands at 19 to 20% margin?
If I want, I have to answer that question very bluntly, there is always a risk to margin. Okay, but having said that, most of the risks are behind us in terms of steel pricing and export freight costs. So we should see some headway in margins, plus the always a prospect of growth ahead, that will also be margin positive. So subject to overall macroeconomic conditions, I would say EBITDA margins should hold and definitely move northwards.
Right, sir. Right. So thank you very much, sir.
Thank you, Sean.
Thank you. We'll move on to the next question. That is on the line of Gautam, an investor. Please go ahead.
Hello.
Hi, Gautam.
Yeah. Good afternoon, sir. Actually, I had a question on realization. So for the first half, the volumes were 30,000 and the revenue was 510 crores. So the average realization per ton was approximately 170,000. However, in Q3, the volumes were 15,000 tons and the average realization is coming to 195,000. So, sir, can you help me understand, like, what has driven the realizations and is this 195,000 a sustainable number?
Okay, maybe that includes some amount of scrap as well. My data on sales alone shows 1,57 to 1,60. So there is a marginal increase. Yes, because steel prices have gone up. We don't see that huge increase that you're talking about. However, we'll check our numbers and if we can reach my CFO, we will clarify this to you.
Okay. Like, can you give me a ballpark number for realization? Like, what can be the average realization for next year?
Would be around these numbers, about 1,60,000 rupees per ton.
Okay, okay. Thank you. That was helpful.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Sanjay from Ampasan. Please go ahead.
Yes, sir. Thanks a lot and congratulations for a good set of number.
Thank you. I didn't get your name.
So my name is Sanjay Sapathy.
Okay.
So my question is that from Ampersand Capital.
Yeah. Hi, Sanjay.
Hi, sir. How are you doing, sir?
I'm fine. Thank you.
My question is that as you said that your volume was about 15,000 in quarter three, which is almost similar, slightly lower than the previous quarter as you discussed just now. But at the same time, you're looking at a much better number of somewhere around 20,000 plus in quarter four. And that is because of some new projects. But your guidance of 85,000 for fiscal 23, it looked like almost similar run rate to what you want to achieve in quarter four. Is this taking into account some kind of a seasonal aspect, or is it trying to be a little conservative?
Sanjay, first of all, we looked at some 45,000 tons so far, and our projection for Q4, including Q4 for end of the year, was between 60 and 65,000 tons.
Right.
So, okay, so it's not exactly 20, but we'd expect it to be above 15, for sure. Okay, so if you take the upper end of the band and make it four times, yes, 80,000. So we have a, but we are looking at about 85,000 tons next year. And this is definitely, I would say, subject to the overall macroeconomic situation. We have been developing a lot of new parts, and those new parts come into production. And as those new parts come into production, definitely our sales will improve, and the overall sales will be subject to macroeconomic conditions. So subject to that, yes, I would say 80 to 85,000 tons next fiscal is not way above us.
Understood. And sir, my next question is that on logistics, that there are a lot of the shipping issues and all. So are those kind of behind you now, or you're still having issues there?
Availability of ships is still a trouble. Occasionally, ships don't call, and that too, if the Omicron wave goes to China in a serious manner, the Chinese will simply clog up the entire global economy by imposing waiting periods for ships. And it's a very backhanded way of stopping the entire global economy.
Understood.
Very smart move by the Chinese. Okay, we have lockdowns, we are going to struggle, but we lock you down as well in an indirect manner.
Understood. And so my last question, you know,
that the rest of the world is also kowtowing all this nonsense.
Right. And then my last question that I wanted to hear from you, that you just discussed the average realization, and you were not really looking at significant upside, even though you are working on new products and doing more value addition in terms of machining, going for heavier parts. So ideally, that should be translating to better realization. Can you just help us understand why it is not going to happen?
No, I didn't say it's not going to happen. What we see is that this level of realizations would sustain nominally. Okay, what you have seen now in Q3 is, I think, slightly higher realization on account of scrap sales in Q3. So that might be a bit abnormal. The overall average realization we worked out in the meantime works out around 1,77,000 rupees per ton. That should hold.
Understood, understood. Thanks a lot, sir.
Thank you.
Thank you. We'll move on to the next question. That is on the line of Lakshmi Narayan from ICICI Prudential AMC. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good afternoon. How are you?
I'm fine, Lakshmi Narayan. How are you?
Good, sir. So far, good. Very good set of numbers. So I have a few questions. One is that from a machine products, right, essentially from DVS, and some of the other things we are doing, how that contribution has been over the last 9 months, and how the mix you expect to change from a tonnage point of view or revenue point of view?
Okay. Since October, the tractor industry has been running rather slow, September itself. So mm-hmm. I would say, and the projections of the tractor industry next year are also on the lesser side only. So DVS would, plateau there a bit on the tractor segment. But coming to the LCV side, we have added newer parts, and that will give DVS a good fillip. So what we lose in the tractor side will be compensated by the LCV entry. And once tractor improves, that will add to our capability as well. So tractor market going down would impact a little bit, but not by much. It will be compensated by other parts that we have developed.
Yeah. And from a business mix, the machined or the high value added parts is broadly how much, and how you think it will go in the next 3 years or 2 years?
currently machined to unmachined mix is about 50-50, as I said earlier. So we would expect the machined percentage to go up to around 60% plus over the next 2 years.
Okay, and usually from the sensitivity point of view, right? So any number that, you know, whenever the machine increases, how much it would actually add to your margins?
I would say decent. There are some, I'll admit that there are some machine parts that are really crappy. Okay. So, and we also have a crazy system of allotting the forging price and the machining price. So we need to look at that as well internally. But broadly, if you see, machining would add 5% to EBITDA margins.
Got it. But that move from 50 to 60 can add 5% to EBITDA margins.
On that turnover, correct.
Okay, okay. And any new business business or any new platforms we have actually won in the last 9 months? Do you like to touch upon?
Yeah. We are increasing our foray into the agri sector in India.
Mm-hmm.
We are also getting into the PV segment in India, integrating ourselves a lot stronger across several customers. Plus, both parts of the CV trucks, different parts as well. So CV also we're strengthening our connect with customers. This is all set. On the export side too, I spoke of some incremental orders coming in. That interestingly will come in the PV space. We've also seen a lot of traction with a few customers for high precision parts which are going into their EV markets. So that is also seeing a lot of movement.
So you said it's moving in as in passenger vehicle space.
Sorry?
Yes. So you mentioned that the export side, you are getting more passenger vehicle space. I mean, that's what you mentioned?
I had a couple of orders on the passenger vehicle side.
And what is this EV about? I just missed that point.
Yeah. Some high precision parts for the EV, for EV transmissions, EV powertrains.
Okay, okay, okay. And, you know, this is helpful. And from a business predictability point of view, right, this 80,000-85,000 you have talked about, how much of that is already part of your order book now? And how much is something which you need to, you know, hunt for new business there?
All of it is part of our order book.
Okay, so which means that there is a certainty of this 80,000 to 85,000.
Yeah.
High certainty.
Yeah, Shyam also brought that aspect. I think I could, if you permit me, I can go back by a year almost, 9 months, and or so, and refresh. See, last March, we did about 100 crores of turnover. And we have about 30 odd crores of parts per month on in the pipeline. So you put that together, we should look at about 130 crores of turnover. Plus a little bit of increase in the CV market. That would push us to about 140-150. But you can analyze that and there you get our number.
Got it. Thank you so much and all the rest.
Sure.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Jitendra Khatri from Tata Mutual Fund. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good afternoon, sir. So I am new to understanding your company. So some of my questions will be a little basic. So firstly, on the EBITDA margin thing, which you just answered to a participant, the difference as it goes up when you machine more. So the 5% is the difference to the absolute EBITDA or the difference to the EBITDA margin?
can I
I think you said that when your machining mix goes up to 60%, your EBITDA moves up by 5%. So is it the absolute EBITDA or the EBITDA margin in terms of, let's say, percentage points moves up from 18% to 23%?
No. Absolute EBITDA. See, what the question was, if you do one, I think if I can rephrase the question of the earlier participant, if you do 100 rupees of turnover on a steel part and you say you do 100 rupees of turnover on a forged part, what would be the difference in EBITDA margin? If I've understood right, and my answer would be that there should be around 5%.
Okay. So
on gross EBITDA margins.
Gross EBITDA margins. Okay, thank you for the clarity. And sir, I wanted to know how your content per vehicle, if there's any way to unitize it, is spread across LCVs and MHCV and tractor. Is there a way to unitize it, like this much kgs or this much percentage would be the content?
Yeah, good question and good suggestion. We'll take it forward, Jitendra, and in our next quarter, we'll try to quantify it.
Thank you. And sir, so are you exploring industrial as an opportunity?
Sorry, please repeat.
Are you exploring industrial or non-auto as an opportunity to cross-sell?
Yeah. Definitely, yes.
So what would be the gestation period there? Once the revenue starts flowing, there will be pilot runs, there will be test trials and everything.
Yes, I've answered a couple of questioners earlier. And we are looking at the agri space in India. So non-auto business will go up.
Yeah, so basically what will be the time?
And industrial side. You're right. I didn't answer yours specifically. Yes, your specific sector or the sector of your specific interest, industrials also will go up over the next few months.
Okay. And sir, in exports, I wanted to know what will be the difference in the opportunity set between class 8 versus the non-class 8, because class 8 is often used as the benchmark. So what will be the difference in opportunity or the margin profile there?
Class 8 would be a benchmark because that attracts a lot of players from the Indian autocom space, particularly the forging sector. So class 8 has been traditionally a bellwether or a go-to kind of a destination. So that doesn't mean many of our compatriots have gotten significant forays in the LCV markets as well. I would say margin accretion or the profitability of business would depend upon the specific part and the strengths of the manufacturer without going into specifics. So I would say, and whether it's machined and what is the extent of machining. So overall, we can say that these are part specific and not sector specific.
Okay. So thank you very much. Appreciate your insights. Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, in order to ensure that the management is able to address questions from all participants in this conference call, we request you to limit your questions to two per participant only. If time permits, you can come back in the question queue for a follow-up question. The next question is from the line of Deepak Podar from Spark Capital. Please go ahead.
Hello.
Hi, Deepak.
Yeah. Hello, sir. Yeah. Thank you very much, sir, for the opportunity. So first, I wanted to understand. So what's the margin differential between machine and forging? So if you can throw some light on that.
Hey, this would be an approximate guess. Would be around 5%. It is not comparing apples to apples.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I must admit that because a machined part is totally different from a forged part.
Mm-hmm.
So, broadly speaking, yes.
I was looking at the absolute number. Like, overall, our margin is 19%, right? So I just wanted to understand that individually how much we kind of clock on the margin.
Yeah.
So can I have the absolute number if that is possible?
Sorry? Yeah, about roughly 5% should be the difference between the two.
Oh. Okay, understood. And sir, my second question is around your growth. Now you did talk about the chip shortage situation is behind, and you do expect a frenzy in the US market coming into FY 2022 and will sustain in 2023 as well. So in terms of growth outlook over the next 1 to 2 years, how do you see? Because we have been seeing quite a good growth, right?
A good question. So we are expecting strong growth over the next couple of years with the riding on the back of a strong export market and a reasonable pickup in India, backed up by increasing the part offering from MM Forgings. So all told, we should move up from around 60 plus thousand tons of this year to 80,000 plus tons of the next year.
So that is about 25 to 30% growth in the volume front, right?
Correct. About 25 to 30% growth in the volume.
And plus there would be ASP growth as well, right?
ASP means?
Realization, average realization on a year-on-year.
Yes, correct.
Okay, yeah, that's it from my side. All the very best.
Thank you, Deepak.
We'll move on to the next question. That is from the line of Subrato Sarkar from Mount Infra Finance. Please go ahead.
Hello. Sir, my question... hi, this is
Subrato.
Yes, sir. Yeah. So, sir, two questions. One on a broader perspective, sir. If you help us to understand, like, since EV is now becoming prominent in certain geography, so, like... For company like us, whether it will throw up new opportunity, whether it will expand our target market, or our contribution to our EV vehicle is actually lower than a traditional ICE vehicle. It's on a broader perspective, if you can help us to understand that, because this is one area, sir, I need some understanding. And second, on, sir, like, if we are targeting 80-85K tonnage next year, so next to next year, maybe, sir, we will be operating at optimal level of our capacity. Then after then, what is the road forward? Like, we will go for whether a brownfield expansion or a greenfield expansion, or what will be our strategy? And vis-a-vis, sir, by the time if we are making profit, so how much will we utilize? Like, what will be our equity to debt repayment, strategy, or like how will it fund it, basically?
Nice series of questions, Subrata. So, EV market is a very, very complicated question to answer. I will attempt to give my perspective on this. Okay. So, two-wheelers is first to go EV for many reasons, particularly access of technology, pricing, and the fact that it doesn't require too much of infra. But if somebody could put the numbers and say, 2 million two-wheelers are sold every month, what would be number of two-wheelers on the road? If all that were to go EV, what would be the load on the electrification system? Then that would be an interesting number to see. Anyway, I will also do some number crunching there. But two-wheelers is definitely on the cards. It's picked up, and over the next 5 to 10 years, we would see largely only EV two-wheelers being sold. So it's going to be a decimator in terms of that market. With regards to four-wheelers, penetration will happen, but a bit slower, and it will take a longer duration. The numbers out are by 2030, even the EU is expecting only a 20% EV penetration, max. Governments there are pushing for 20, but the industry was looking at somewhere around 18%. But this was about 2-3 years back. Pandemic, perception, and so many things have changed in the meantime. So I would say EV rollout could be faster. So by 2030, if we achieve anywhere between 25% of four-wheeler penetration, that would be a significant number. As of now, no news on EV on trucks. though there are some news from various quarters that yes, trucks are going to go the EV way, we have no clue on the time frame. But long haul on trucks is going to take a long time to get go EV. Now, on top of all this EV penetration, there is a new kit on the block called hydrogen. I have been a big fan of hydrogen, so, and I continue to be a big fan. In fact, whatever I had been saying in conferences over the last 3 years is now the exact direction that hydrogen is taking. That green hydrogen will be the fuel of the future. Okay, I didn't have a color to hydrogen then, but I have been saying that solar power will be so cheap in India in the next few years, and we having an abundant solar access to solar power, access to the sun, as well as a huge coastline, we would see electrolysis and of seawater and production of hydrogen to be the next would be a storage device for hydrogen, and therefore hydrogen would become more cheaply available. Of course, if there are efficient technologies over electrolysis, all that is not factored. So, as we walk the talk, science is also pushing itself to its limit, science and engineering. There are many moves afoot to produce hydrogen than just by electrolysis. All that is not in my calculation so far. But ultimately, green hydrogen will be the power of the future. And there, green hydrogen could play a role in two ways. In powering vehicles, if the density of hydrogen availability as a fuel, the fuel density of hydrogen were proven in some manner or the other, then we could even look at hydrogen-based IC engines coming in.
Okay.
So hydrogen as a fuel cell power source, fuel cell, as a source of fuel cells, is definitely on the cards. So hydrogen will take a two-pronged approach. Toyota has already run a hydrogen-based car in races. So hydrogen as a fuel running on IC engines is not very far off.
Okay.
The storage density alone has to be questioned. Once that is addressed, I think hydrogen is a done deal. And just look at it. Take water, no lithium, no none of that crap. Little bit of NOx emission, but because EV is also not very non-polluting. It is polluting in its own way. Some studies say that it's even more polluting than oil, but that's a different issue. But the source of pollution will remain at mines and at disposal sites for batteries. It won't spread to cities. Cities where will become cleaner with EVs, no doubt about it. And cities will become equally clean with hydrogen-based combustion engines as well. How the future will be, we do not know.
Okay.
Next point of your next question of yours was, there's an 80,000 to 85,000 tons planned for next year. What is it thereafter? Thereafter, we should target to reach 120,000 tons. Maybe it'll take a year, maybe it'll take a little bit more, but we should reach 120,000 tons. For which we've already largely invested. Of course, we have to search for the parts and the mechanisms, but I think it's on the cards.
Okay.
So I would say I would worry about expansion beyond 2024, 2025, or start to think about it from the basic forging capacity. But by then, so many forces are at play in terms of the electrification, the hydrogen coming in. So all those things could, we have to wait and watch to see what we should be doing. I would give myself a year to think about it. And anyway, we are going ahead with certain debottlenecking here and there. That will continue on.
Okay, sir. Sir, at the last question, sir, from my side. Sir, I am tracking your company for quite some time. So, sir, one honest question I am just trying to understand from your mindset, sir. Sir, previously, also we were great managed company, but previously we were much more conservative while expanding our capacity and all those things. But that thing, this is my personal opinion, that thing has changed from our last expansion plan. Like last, we have almost decided to double our capacity and everything. So I find somewhere, sir, we have become a little bit, I would say we were overcautious till that. I mean, this is my perception. But now you are more taking bigger steps for capacity expansion, growth and all those things. So I'm just trying to understand, sir, is it coming from our more confidence on our execution capacity or the external environment, or what is it, sir? This is my way of reading all this, sir.
If you want me to answer that in a quick single line, I would say probably has been my personal exposure to the market. With the foray into HF, I have taken on the thing of marketing those parts outside. So has been my direct coming to face with customers.
Okay. That makes you more confident, sir, about our capability that you you have understood, customer have understand our capability, sir, and they rely on us.
Yeah, I would put it this way, that we have now understood what customers want from us better.
Okay.
And therefore are harnessing our capability, which was there all the while, and making it come out in the open, manifest in terms of business.
Okay. Great, sir. Great.
Maybe request that you return to the question queue.
Sure. Thank you.
The next question is from the line of Naveen Mata from Mahindra Manulife. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi sir. Thanks for the opportunity. Sir, just wanted to reconfirm, our exports mix in this quarter was around 53%.
Sorry, Naveen, could you repeat?
Our export sales as a mix was 53% this quarter?
Correct. 52% for this quarter, 53% year to date.
Okay. So, sir, when I look at it compared to the September quarter, our export sales broadly look flattish. So, I was just trying to understand a little more in terms of our mix of supply. So, you know, we've seen Class 8 volumes go down significantly on a quarter-on-quarter basis. So, despite that, we've kind of reported a flat number. So, can you just help me understand in terms of a mix of exports, how does that look like?
The mix of exports will, over the next 12 months, will shift towards domestic. No doubt about it. And this we have been publicly stating for quite some time, that we will be looking at a greater domestic percentage.
Okay. So actually, I wanted to get an understanding in terms of our exposure within exports to Class 8, Class 5 to Class 7 and passenger vehicles. How would that look like?
In terms of export percentages?
Yeah, just broadly if you can give a sense. That's enough.
Trucks would be largely about 90% of our sales.
And this would be Class 8, sir?
Largely Class 8.
Okay. Got it. So secondly, just wanted to check with the realization that you just mentioned of 1,77,000 for this quarter, the implied scrap sales is close to around 20 to 23 crores for the December quarter. Is that a regular run rate, or is there any other items in there which I might have missed?
Nothing there. Nothing specific.
Okay, so this should be a recurring number by and large. Is that right, sir?
One sec. Just give me a sec to crunch something and
check. Yeah.
Largely, yes, sustainable.
Okay, perfect. Yeah, that's it from my side. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Nitin Gandhi from KISH Trade Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for taking my question. The capacity built up to 120, is it completely factored with next year's spend of 100 crore, or there is something more which needs to be spent in 24 as well?
I would say up to about 100,000 tons should be factored in. Beyond 100 may require a little bit of debottlenecking and maybe some adding of machined parts.
Will that be below
30? No, I wouldn't be too concerned. It will all be maybe another 100 crores at best, maximum. I'm just shooting it off my head.
Okay.
Maybe.
And,
maybe.
Yeah. Thank you.
If something comes up with more investment, I'm sure that that will be accompanied by greater margins as well. So, even in that case, we should not shy away from it.
Normally, what do you benchmark? Some return on equity or payback period or something or asset turnover? Which is a normal benchmark which you use?
Okay. Normally we look at ROI.
Okay. And okay. What is the
one side? And we look at expected margins. These are our two benchmarks to arrive at product pricing.
Fine. So, enhanced ROI and enhanced margin drives the decision, right?
I wouldn't say enhanced margins, okay. An absolute margin level, and a reasonable ROI for incremental investment. Of course, we don't look at it only as purely incremental. Whatever is the total investment required to furnish that particular, to supply that particular product volume, we take that into the thing, and then decide on the particular project.
Thank you very much for sharing.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Rahul Jain from Credence Wealth. Please go ahead.
Thanks for the opportunity. And sir, congratulations on a very good set of numbers. Two, three things, sir. One, you just to reconfirm in the one of the previous participants' questions, you mentioned about volumes for FY23 could be around 80-85, and FY24 you mentioned it to be around 120K.
It would be between 100 and 120K.
Okay, and this would be largely.
Okay, so one disclaimer which I must admit between for both the years, subject to macroeconomic conditions.
Sure. Okay. And you also mentioned that somewhere we are at the bottom of the cycle for India market. And I think what you are trying to look for in next 2 years, FY23 and 24, the larger growth coming from the Indian CV market?
Yes. CV, tractor and PV. Across.
Sure. And sir, if you could share the 9 months volume data of the last year, we have the data for the current year. So what was the 9 months volume data for the previous year? And how was the realization in the previous year, 9 months?
1 sec. I would guess it will be around 27 to 30,000 tons. Yeah, 27,000, precise. 27,250, says my sheet.
This is for the previous year
9 months.
Right?
Yeah, up to Q2. Up to
Q. How could it be the relation at that point of time for those 9 months?
1,56,000 tons. 56,000 rupees.
Okay, and the relation today for 9 months is around 170-175.
Correct.
Sure. And sir, with regards to the EBITDA margins, would it be fair to look at EBITDA percentage, or it could be better to look at in EBITDA per ton basis? How do we look at it, considering the movement in the steel prices? Hello?
Yeah. We generally look at EBITDA on a percentage number.
Mm-hmm.
But nothing wrong in looking at on EBITDA as on a per ton basis also.
Achha.
Actually, we should have that number. If you wait for a minute, I'll see if I can produce it.
Mm-hmm.
there an EBITDA per ton? I think we did it, no? One second, where is it? No, percentage to sales, but on, yeah, we'll get it for you, no issues.
Sure. So going ahead for the next 2 years, can we, and what
sorry,
I found coming? This is just a follow-up of that only. So next 2 years, sir, can we expect what kind of EBITDA per ton? Considering even in this quarter, you have done wonderfully fine on gross margins also, in spite of the steel prices hikes. So how do we look at the gross margin, the gross contribution, and the next year EBITDA per ton? That's it from my side, sir.
I would say it's positive. Overall will be positive.
So better than what we have achieved in this quarter. Is that assumption right?
Yeah.
Sure. Thank you so much, sir, and wish you all the best. Thanks.
Thank you.
Thank you. We'll move on to the next question. That is from the line of Vidram Mehta from Aditya Birla Capital. Please go ahead.
Thank you, sir. Sir, I just had a question on PLI. So with respect to PLI scheme, are we looking at that which could benefit us over a longer period of time? I mean, are we planning to consider, as an export opportunity or localization drive with respect to manufacturing certain parts?
I will answer the question a little bit indirectly. By the way, I didn't get your name in the...
Vidrum Mehta from Aditya Birla Money.
Vidru, V-I-D-R-E.
Vidru.
Okay, Vidrum Mehta. Okay. See, I would answer the question a slight different tack. Overall, I would say this Make in India scheme has triggered the imagination of the Indian entrepreneurs, and it goes well beyond PLI, blah, 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 and all that. There is so much that this country can do. There is so much that we can avoid by importing. Today, even our Ganesh Chaturthi idols, the small ones, Ganesha that you see in a car, is all coming from China. So, lot of value-added products. I'm not saying that the Ganesha is a non-value-add or a value-add. That's not the perspective here. Point is that many things are coming from outside. For example, we don't have a company that makes, a firm that makes our own word processor. We don't have, at least the Chinese do, because it's all in Chinese. So it's got to be customized for a mass market. We don't have so many software, we have done so much in software, but we don't have so much of software products. Overall, if you see, I think India has a lot more to do. Make in India is an idea, in my opinion, whose size will be beyond even what Modiji has factored in. It will take time, but it will definitely, its next 7 to 15 years is India's stage in the sunlight.
Okay. So are we looking at it, PLI, with respect to certain parts?
No PLI for us.
Okay, fair enough. And with respect to, what would be our current debt as of 9 month FY22? And what are the plans to bring down the same over the next 1-2 years?
Total debt, 582. I think I owe an apology to one of the earlier questioners. I might not have answered it in full on the debt. Maybe Subrato, I think. So overall, 582 crores with term loan debt at 428. And this is gross. If you take net debt, stands at 396 crores. Assuming that we do 1,000 crores, 1,200, 1,300 crores a year is a bare, I think, minimum. And 20% EBITDA, this hardly represents 2 years on EBITDA, including 150 odd crores of working capital debt. If you take term loan debt alone, net of cash, it's 240 crores. And all just about one times EBITDA on a reasonable basis. So I wouldn't worry too much about debt. We would look at an optimal mix. I wouldn't look at bringing debt down to zero. We would look at opportunities and then tune our debt accordingly. Our repayments currently run at about 86 crores a year for the next few years.
I hope that satisfies most questions on this side.
Yes, sir. Thank you. Thank you very much and wish you all the very best for your future. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Nitin Gandhi from KIFS Trade Capital. Please go ahead.
Thank you. This capacity utilization, can you share, like, what is the optimal way of running, whether what percentage level you can run practically?
Optimal would be 110%, but practical will be about 80 to 100. See, also depends on how you have put your nameplate, your boilerplate capacity. If you have been very optimistic and said, you know, optimal mix of parts and then this is my capacity, well, you could be running at only 80. Some people even run at as low as 65 is my peak. So that could be a wide range between 60 and 110. 65 and 100. 60 is too low. 65 to 110. Depends upon how you calculated your capacity. Because forgings are generally fungible.
Right. And we are practically running at 85.
Not now, no. When we run at 100,000 tons, we'll be running at 80-85%.
Oh. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Kashyap Zaveri from MK Investment Managers. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you very much, sir. Two questions from my side. If I look at your capacity, we have pressing capacity up to about 8,000 tons. How would our capacities, break up in that 125,000 tons total capacity in terms of, what size of press we have? And in terms of components, up to what kg of components are we producing as of today? And what has been the change in that, the new component, let's say, percentage over last, let's say, 3-4 years?
Last 3-4 years, we've added a lot. I didn't get your name, sorry.
Kashyap Zaveri from MK Investment Managers.
Parshat, huh?
Kashyap,
okay.
Kashyap,
just to give
you an analogy, Kashyap Rishi was there, so that's the Kashyap.
Oh,
Kashyap. Yes.
Oh, okay. That's a rare name.
Yeah.
Yep.
It's usually people have this surname in North.
Correct. Yeah. Very famous Rishi. So, yes. Component mix, we've added this 8,000 ton, the heavy forgings over the last 4 years largely. From 2017 end onwards, this ran into production. So that has added to our product mix in a big way. So we see a lot of new parts, heavy parts come in, and that continues to be a foray. And as I've disclosed earlier to one of the questions, this would reach around 5,000 tons of our monthly portfolio over the next 2.5-3 years. So that 5,000 tons will be a big number, considering that we are producing.
Can you repeat those comments? I actually
mentioned. Over the next 3 years or so, this should work out to about 5,000 tons per month.
Okay.
At 5,000 tons per month, that would effectively mean an earlier MM forging has been doubled. This was not there earlier.
Okay.
So a huge amount of capacity has been created. A lot of money has been invested. You've heard all of this in bits and pieces across several questions and answers. So the trend is that we have moved towards heavier forgings. We have not said no to smaller forgings. Even now we are developing a lot of smaller forgings for new customers and existing customers.
Okay.
Now, super important, on top of this, the EV ingress, then you have a very complicated situation, which we hope we will tide out in our favor.
Okay. And just one question in connection with the cash balances that you mentioned earlier, 186 crores. You mentioned that you have 86 crores repayment scheduled, for the term loans. But if I look at our cash balance, that's good enough to repay even working capital on short-term loans. So, any plans to repay those using these cash balances and cash flows?
Absolutely not.
So we will retain that short-term capital, working capital.
Logic is as follows. I won't get money when I need it. I won't get money when I need it. I will get money only when banks are willing to lend.
Okay.
Like what it helped me sleep during 2020 was the fact that we had 2 years repayment under the pillow, literally.
Right.
Yeah. So at that time, imagine going to bankers, asking them for money or asking them for rescheduling, throws the entire organization into a tizz.
Right.
Now, assuming that 2 years of pandemic was much worse, and that you know we were hit like hospitality or something, assuming that we didn't bleed, but we didn't have even a single rupee of EBITDA.
Right.
Paying left hand to right hand.
Right.
How does the organization meet its commitments over 2 years?
So right.
This will continue. That will be a cornerstone of our strategy even as we go forward.
Okay. Got it, sir. That's it from my side. Thank you so much, sir.
Fine. Thank you.
Could we wind up in about 5-10 minutes or right now itself?
Sir, this was the last question. Would you like to add any closing remarks?
None at all. Just a small this thing that we are looking at something in the EV space, and you should hear from us over the next quarter. What, where, how? I think only time will reveal. But yes, we also want to diversify into. That's a very clear direction that we want to hedge on. That's it from my side. Thank you all. It was wonderful receiving those probing, I would say, very intelligent questions. Thank you all.
Thank you.
Abhishek?
Thank you, sir, for joining us. Thank you, everyone, for joining us. Now we conclude the call now.
Okay. Thank you all. Bye.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, on behalf of Dolat Capital Markets, that concludes this conference call. We thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines. Thank you.